This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, who's also a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his thoughts on a story we talked about yesterday, the testimony of General David Petraeus, head of U.S. Central Command before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in which he talked about the increasing information suggesting a very close tie between Iran and al-Qaeda, as well as what he had to say about Iran encountering some problems as it moves towards what the world believes are nuclear weapons. And, Captain, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
Let's start with the al-Qaeda connections. We know Iran is the world's number one sponsor of terrorism. Its connections with especially Hezbollah, but also Hamas and other organizations is well known. There's been certainly talk of a relationship with al-Qaeda. How much more did we actually learn this week?
Well, it appears that General Petraeus now is on the record stating that there is, in fact, a relationship between the Iranians and al-Qaeda, which is something that many analysts discounted over time and in the past, because the thought was that al-Qaeda was very much a mortal enemy of the Shia state of Iran. But what people fail to take into account is that the Iranians are a very destabilizing force in the Middle East and in Southwest Asia, and that they're spreading out and moving their operations and have been into the African continent. So these guys will use anything that works against their enemy's interests, including the strange bedfellows of their own enemy. So what we've learned is the U.S. government has taken it seriously. They do understand now, and the analysts who said that such a connection is impossible were in fact wrong.
We've obviously seen al-Qaeda able to strike in many different parts of the world, from Indonesia to obviously the United States and Britain and Madrid and India and so forth. What does this Iranian connection do for its capability, its reach, all sorts of things?
Well, what they do is they're running a two-track system here. And when I say that, I mean the Iranian government. You have the mullahs are in control of the state, and there is a regular military, a uniformed military, and there is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. And they are what the term, their title suggests. They are not the guard of the state of Iran. That's what their regular military is for. They are the Islamic Revolutionary Guards. They're to guard this thing called the Islamic Revolution, which is headed up by the mullahs and is an outreach program, if you will. So you have a two-track solution. On one hand, you have the government of Iran engaging in bilateral agreements with their neighbors, having a regular military out there, and all of the things that a state would normally do. On the other hand, in a covert operation, you have the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and their external organization, which is called the Quds Force. They are out undermining these very agreements and same state that the government of Iran is dealing with. So I'm duplicitous. If you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to see the country of Iran right there. It is the most underhanded, dangerous situation, and that's why you just cannot trust these people. Remember, they invented the game of chess, and the rest of the world seems to be pleasantly amused with playing checkers, and it's not going to work.
Given this relationship, given this divergence of interest within the Iranian system, how much more imperative does it become then to stop the development of a nuclear weapon?
Well, that's a great question, and it really ratchets everything to the fore, which is how would the calculus be different today if they set off a test nuclear device that's successful? Well, all of a sudden, that becomes the ultimate screen and stability factor for the regime in Tehran. So the whole concept of regime change post-nuclear weapons is going to be very, very difficult, because they will be able to act with impunity, knowing that anybody who really wants to challenge them militarily is going to be facing a nuclear-armed nation. And so they are desperately trying to get that nuclear weapon. That is their lock on power.
A couple follow-ups then on the nuclear program. Captain Nash, the general said that they've encountered some problems, some setbacks perhaps, in the developments. Do we have any idea what those are and what the timetable is? I know that's the $64,000 question,
sure.
But is there any insight on where they are at this point?
Well, again, General Petraeus, who is obviously very up on this stuff, being the central command commander, what he said was that they won't have a nuclear weapon this calendar year, which, you know, that's
thanks a lot.
Yeah, right. So how about January, you know, or February? So what he's saying is that there are difficulties, and there have been press reports and things that have come out over the last year where some nuclear weapons experts have been saying that their process, i.e. the centrifuges and their actual process to enrich uranium, has not gone as well as what they had forecasted and maybe what the IAEA has forecasted. Well, you have several issues here. First, the Iranians, their program, they watched the North Koreans and what happened to them, and they watched the Iraqis and what happened to them, and they've come down to this whole system of subterfuge, concealment, and a misdisinformation campaign surrounding this whole thing. So I think it is very, very difficult to get the truth of what's going on there. So what the world has to go on is, do we believe that they are engaged in trying to build nuclear weapons? The United States has been saying that, yes, for years, except for that one bizarre national intelligence estimate that came out. And the rest of the world now is convinced, even the IAEA, which has been very reluctant to come to that conclusion, has come out and said, yes, they're working on nuclear weapons technology. And they're working apace at delivery systems, i.e. missiles, to carry those things. So they are. When they're going to be successful, we don't know. And it would be very dangerous for our government or any other government to assume that they will be allowed to do that and then try to worry about a containment issue. Because at that point, the genie's out of the bottle.
Last question before we let you go, Captain. Last 60 seconds here. We know that Russia and China will oppose any meaningful, crippling economic sanctions. And so then the discussion turns to the Israeli option. Is there anything other than those two that you think could make the difference here?
Well, I have long been a supporter of letting the Iranian people who despise this government be empowered to take their government back, to take their country back. And with the Green Revolution that we saw after the fraudulent elections that took place in Iran, that was kind of a national catharsis. That's where people suddenly realized, you know what, this is going south, and we don't want to be part of this anymore. We never bought into a theocracy in the first place. They thought they were going to have a democratic revolution to overthrow the Shah, and they wound up with the mullahs, and it's turned into a police state. So I think what the U.S. government could do is overtly and covertly support the Iranian people in their efforts to take it back and effect an internal regime change.
Captain, we'll keep following this, obviously, and be back in touch with you as events warrant. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, also a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.